Turn with me to the book of Genesis. That shouldn't be too hard to find, all you good biblical people this morning. I understand Chelsea had a birthday on the 14th, eh? That's one of those times you can't forget, DJ, you can't forget her birthday, and Valentine's is all rolled into one. So if you forget any of that stuff, you're in big trouble. Genesis chapter 1. If you're there, say amen. If you're not, say hold on. I know you're lying now. The book of Genesis. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than all the other wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat of the tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. And even though, Lord, some of this was written thousands of years ago, Lord, inspired by the Spirit of God, Lord, we just know that it is applicable even in this day that we live, Lord. And just pray you would help us to know and understand today what you would want us to know from this passage of Scripture. And we'd be careful to give you all the praise. All God's people said. Well, some time back, a fellow pulled into a local Burger King, and he ordered one of those meal deals, and the total cost, the lady told him over the speaker, was $4.33. He pulled up to the window and handed the girl his debit card, and she had already put in $4.33, but she absentmindedly put it in the second time. So instead of paying $4.33, he ended up paying $4,334.33. He signed a slip of paper like you normally do. You don't even pay any attention to what it says sometimes. And gave it back and went through his account and just about wiped out everything he had in it. Now, he must have been fairly well-to-do if he had that much in his checking account anyway, $4,000. The newspaper got a hold of the story and they labeled it the richest meal in history, the most expensive meal in history. Now, we know that that's probably not true because there are a lot of rich people all over the world who spend a lot of money sometimes when they take people out and wine and dine them. I would imagine DJ did that on February the 14th, one of them really expensive meals as they went out and had all the best that Napanese got to offer. I doubt if he spent $4,000, though, that day. But you know, no matter how much money you spend on a meal in this world, it pales in comparison to the cost of that first meal in the Garden of Eden when God told them that they weren't allowed to eat it. It cost Adam and Eve a lot more than they ever expected to pay. And I believe that it literally bankrupted them in more ways than one. And the sad thing is, it probably wasn't even the best food in the garden either. The Bible tells us that God gave Adam and Eve every tree to eat from except one. And Genesis tells us that there was plenty of good trees to eat from. How many of you know that if you see a sign somewhere, if you're walking down the road and you see a sign says wet paint, or if you're in a building going down a hallway somewhere and you see a sign, wet paint, don't touch. How many of you know that you've just got to touch it to make sure that it's, to see if it's wet, you know, to see if they really know what they're talking about. Or concrete, if you're walking, you're going down the sidewalk and you see that ribbon around it, and you know that it's wet concrete there, that you just gotta, you can't help but put your hand in it just to see if it's what it really is. And the Bible tells us that the Lord God made every kind of tree grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And so if we know that the Bible is true, and that they had all these trees that they could eat from, all the kinds of fruit that they wanted, then why did they do it? You know, that it's easy to say, well, the devil made them do it, right? A lot of people give the devil more credit than he deserves. Oh, Flip Wilson, how many of you remember that old show? The devil made me do it, he used to say. The devil made me do it. No, the devil can't make you do anything, you know. He can tempt you and entice you, but the devil can't make you do anything. If you're out fishing on Lake Ontario, hope you're not out there now because there's not a lot of ice around, I don't believe. But if you're out there and you know that there's fish down there, and you can have the best kind of equipment that money can buy, and you can dangle it in front of the fish like that, if they're not hungry, they're not going to eat. You can't make them do anything. Satan cannot make us do anything. They picked the wrong item on the menu because they choose to do it. Now, most of the restaurants around there offer you some wise choices. If you go to it, you can have, you know, the healthy stuff, or if you're like me, you can have the fish and chips. I just got to have my fish and chips once a week, you know, no matter what. But it's a choice that we make each and every day. Choices come our way, and Eve chose that day to disobey God. Now Satan may have twisted her arm a little bit, but she knew what God had said because she repeated it to Satan. She knew that God had told her not to eat of the tree. She knew that God said that anybody who eats of this tree would surely die, but she chose to do it anyway. She made the bad choices. How many of you here today can relate to that? That you've made a bad choice somewhere along your life. Now, well, there's a few of you who still haven't been delivered yet because you're telling lies. You haven't made no bad choices, but you can be delivered of that too. But she made a bad choice, and her first choice occurred, I believe, before Satan even spoke a word. I believe that even if you entertain Satan's presence, that's too much, because if you give him an inch, he'll take a foot, and soon he'll have a yard, and soon he'll have a mile, and he's gone running with that. Satan said, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" You know, he'll put doubt in your mind. That's what Satan does sometimes. And the woman said that we may eat of all the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God did say, yes, he did say, that we are not to eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the middle of the garden, because if we do, we're going to die. And she knew that God, what God said. And Satan will try to get us to question what God says. You can't do this, you can't do that, or you can have this and you can have that. And that's all the room that Satan needs, just a little bit of room to get in there sometimes. And once, you know, Satan gets you to get used to the idea that maybe God didn't mean exactly what he said. Now, a lot of people in our world today, in the modern world that we live in, they say, well, the Bible is not really relevant for today. The Bible is just as relevant today as it was 1,000 years ago, 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. It's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we think that we can change it to the way we want it, and Satan will try to get us to tinker and to just a little bit of this and a little bit of that, you know. And once we try to get ourselves and we're trying to improve on God's word, that then we become the final judge in accepting what is good and evil and what is wrong and what is right. The Bible tells us in Matthew 15 and 9, in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And in other words, that when we get used to doing the things our way and our commandments, our worship becomes vain sometimes. It becomes empty and worthless. When we keep and try to add onto God's word, it just becomes a form of worship then. It's not pleasing to God. Now, why would God be so adamant about us trying to improve on things? It's because, you see, I believe the only way that we can deal with trials and temptations in life is by clinging to the pure, unadulterated word of God. And that's how Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness when he started out on his ministry. And that's the only way that we can defeat Satan today in our lives, is by the word of God. It's like taking medicine. We have a medical doctor in our midst, and if you go to the doctor and he gives you a prescription, you take it to the pharmacist, and he fills it out, and there's instructions there of how the medicine should be taken. Now, if you follow those instructions, most times you'll get better. Sometimes, you know, they still make mistakes. Anne one time went to the doctor for something, and he gave her a prescription. She went down and got it filled, and the druggist there, before Anne got home, the phone rang, and I answered it, and he said, tell Anne not to take any. It was a mistake, and it was one of the strongest drugs around, and I was tempted to take it and go out and sell it and get money. No, I wasn't, no. But you know, if you add to the prescription that the doctor gives you, sometimes you end up in danger, serious danger sometimes. And if you don't tell the doctor that you're taking a certain medication sometimes, then that medication will work against one another, and it's just, you know. I go to the doctor, I try to only go once a year when I need my prescription filled, and I went, and he said, he looked at me, and, well, you know, most doctors think you should be perfect like them anyways, you know. And he said, a man your age, he said, should be taking a prime candidate, he said, for a heart attack. Now, I thought I was, you know, pretty healthy and everything else like that. So he said, I think you should be taking an aspirin a day. And it was no big deal. I said I would. And so... I was taking that one aspirin a day, and everything was all right. And I figured if one aspirin a day was good, two aspirins a day might be better. So I started taking two aspirins a day. Got a nosebleed one time, and it wouldn't stop. Wouldn't stop. Everything was just so thin, the blood and everything else just kept flowing and flowing and flowing, you know. But you cannot add to God's word, and you cannot take away. What God's word prescribes for us is true, and if we follow it, our lives is so much better. You know, you cannot, a lot of people sometimes, and Christian people, get up in the morning, and what's the first thing they do? They got to open the newspaper, and they got to find what their horoscope says, or they got to go down and give some money to the psychics. Well, I can tell you your future as well. You just give me some money, and I can look at the palm of your hand, and I'll say, yeah, you're a fool. But you cannot mix these things. Christian people, you cannot mix God's word and the things of the world. You know, a lot of people sometimes, you know, they'll live and die by a certain television evangelist sometimes. And I'm not saying that they're all, you know, corrupt, but some of them are. In every walk of life, you're going to find people who are corrupt. And you just got to test the spirit and see. But sooner or later, you know, if we get into things like that, Satan will bring it up and use it against us. Eve started out by making bad choices. She believed Satan, and she believed that she could head or take away or not do the things that God said. And that's the avenue that Satan took to deceive her all the rest of the way. He said, you'll surely not to die. He said, you're not going to die. He said, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, and you'll know good and evil. Be like God. Isn't that one of Satan's desires, is that he's going to be like God? And I believe she'd gotten used to not fully trusting in God's commandments. So Satan took advantage of this. And essentially Satan told her that God had lied to her. And that's what Satan was telling her. You're not going to die. Maybe he even said, you're not going to get sick. There'll be no consequences to the choices. You can do whatever you like, and it doesn't matter, because there's no shame. There's not going to be any guilt. There's not going to be no judgment. There's not going to be no hell. There's not going to be any eternal regret. Just do what you want, and it won't damage you at all. That's what Satan would have her to believe. And you know why God lied? He lied because that when you eat of this, he says, your eyes will be open. You'll be just like God. You'll be just like God. And you know, Satan would have us to believe that God doesn't want the best for us. He doesn't want the best for us. But it's a lie. The Bible tells us that Satan has been a lie from the beginning. He's the father of lies. But Jesus came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. And Satan knows that once we eat of the tree of life, that we'll live forever. You know, he wants to get everything under control. And Satan will say, like, throw off those old shackles of religious do's and don'ts. Quit being a goody-two-shoe. Live the rest of your life to the fullest, whatever you want to do. If you could see where I once was. And I was on that side of the fence for a lot of years, the first 35 years of my life. And I tell you, it ain't no good. It ain't no good. And Eve probably begins to think that, you know, she can have everything. She looks at the tree. And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good, the Bible tells us, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. Now, was Eve hungry? Probably not. Probably not. Because there were lots of other trees that were good for food. The Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. But Satan's lie had taken root. And it was there that she realized that also this was good for gaining wisdom as well. Wisdom that Satan put in her lives, that in her life, that God had lied about. And she chose to disobey God on that day. And in disobeying God, she lost so much that God had in store for her. But you know, at least Eve had an excuse, didn't she? She was deceived. Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 2:14 that the woman Eve was deceived and became a sinner. She was deceived. Well, Adam and Eve were deceived. Most of us can understand that to a point. But no, that's not the way it was. The Bible goes on to say, and Adam was not the one who was deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. You can look throughout the New Testament, and you can never find Eve as being the bad one in the story. Who gets the blame? Adam. Now, we like to blame it on the women. But in reality, no. It'd be like me, you know, 230 pounds, and Ann pushing me up in the corner and saying, you got to eat this. I'm going to make you eat that. And there she is, 100. I won't say how much she weighs because I don't really know. But I know I'm about 100 pounds heavier than she is. and it would be like hand pushing me up in the corner and saying, "Here, you're going to eat this. You're going to stay there until you eat that." John Agee said that when he gets to heaven, the first thing he's going to do, he said he's going to walk up to Adam, and he said he's going to give him the swiftest kick in the shins, he said, that I can give him. He said, because he's to blame for it all. The word tells us that sin entered through one man and death through sin. So I don't know who you got to blame for it, but you know, we've all got choices to make. Not one woman says one man. So the next time that somebody tells you that this woman or that woman is to blame for everything, the women started it all, no, not really. Romans 5:14 says, "Death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a commandment, as did Adam." So why does Adam get the blame? Because he wasn't deceived. I believe, you know, Adam gets the blame because Adam went into it knowing. He went into it knowing. It's a few years ago now that some good friends of ours, Salvation Army officers, and he had an affair. And when I was back, we went back to Newfoundland and we took some things for them back to Newfoundland, and we dropped it off in the little hometown that she's from and talked to her dad, and you know, and I suppose tried to justify things on his behalf, and I said, you know, everybody makes mistakes. He said, no, he said he didn't make a mistake. He said he went into it knowing. He went into it knowing. And that's like a lot of people today. They go into things knowing about it, you know. Eve took some fruit. She ate it, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Now, people might think that maybe he wasn't there at the time, but no, the Bible tells it. He wasn't in the kitchen somewhere doing dishes, or he wasn't out getting the crops in and things like that. Adam was with Eve when Satan deceived her. He was there when Satan accused God of lying. He was there when Satan said that they wouldn't even die. He was there when Satan implied that they could have all kinds of advantages if they only ate of this. And Adam was not deceived. He went into it knowing. He didn't believe a word. I believe that he didn't believe what Satan was saying. So why would he even do it? Why would he even do it? Because he chose to. He chose to. God had given him a free will. God has given each of us a free will to come and to go and to do as we please. And our spiritual act of worship is to offer ourselves to him, to offer ourselves to him. Now, it's hard to know precisely the reason why. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm pretty sure as to why Adam ate the fruit. My guess is this, is that he believed God, but he didn't trust him. You know, there's a lot of difference in believing and trusting. A lot of people believe that God is able to save, God is able to heal, and God is able to deliver, but he's not able to do it in me. And they believe that he's able to do it in somebody else, but they don't just trust him for their own lives. Isn't that true sometimes, that they believe but they do not trust? God said that the day they ate of the tree that they would die. And so Eve eats of it, and what's going to happen to her? She's going to die. And Adam is going to lose Eve. He's going to lose this woman who was bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And I think that Adam probably reasoned in his heart that I don't want to lose her. But if God is going to kill her for this, then I'm going as well. Now, I don't know, that might not be, but maybe he reasoned in his heart that God don't understand. Isn't that true sometimes that we come and we say, nobody understands me. Nobody understands me. Oh, but my friends. Nobody on this earth may not understand you. Even your closest friend, your spouse, or the people that you just have that kind of relationship with. Maybe they might not even be able to understand you. But God knows, and God understands, and God cares about each and every situation and circumstance that comes our way. And I believe that Adam was thinking that if God is going to take her from me, then I'm going to go too. Because I don't believe that God can fix this. And a lot of people that we come across sometimes and come in contact with, that they don't believe that God can actually fix something in their lives. And I believe that he reasoned that if I eat up the tree of that as well, that I'm going to go, and that's all that can be done about it. I believe that he believed in God, but I don't believe that he fully trusted God. Sometimes it's easier to trust in something that we see than something that is unseen. Hebrews tells us in 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. You see, believing in God is the core of being a Christian. Just believing that God exists isn't enough. Even the demons believe in God and they shudder. But we must believe in him and believe that he is able to take us through whatever comes our way in life. In other words, we need to trust him, because if we don't trust him, we'll be tempted to try and fix the problems on our own, on our own terms, or even worse, we'll be trying to force God to do the things our way, and it doesn't work. It's God's way or it's no way. When we face trials and temptations in our life, we need to believe and we need to trust. We need to believe that God not only exists, but to trust that he'll take care of us each and every step of the way, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Adam and Eve, you know, failed God on that day. And you know, we've all failed God in one way or another. But I'm thankful today that God is in the reconciliation business. And God is in the forgiveness business. You know, I mentioned at the beginning that it was probably the most expensive meal in history. But it wasn't, you know. When you people meet on the first Sunday of the month and partake of the elements of the Lord's table, you know, that's the most expensive meal in history, bar none. It doesn't seem like much. It doesn't cost this church but a couple of dollars a month for some juice and crackers or bread. But what it symbolizes is the most expensive thing that ever taken place on this earth. It cost Jesus his life, his very lifeblood. And he paid for that meal with his life. And in purchasing that meal, Jesus undid the damage that Adam and Eve brought on us when they ate that meal. And one man spoke of the contrast between these two meals by contrasting the trees from which each was harvested. And the first tree was planted by God, and the second tree was planted by man. And God forbid man to eat of the first tree. But now we are freely invited to draw and to eat of that fruit of the tree of life. The eating of the first tree brought sin and death. And by eating of the second tree, we know that there's life and salvation in Jesus Christ. Adam, by eating of the first tree, was turned out of paradise. And while the repentant thief on the cross that day looked at Jesus, and Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Paradise has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ. And I trust that each and every person there this morning has that in their life, to know that the blood of Jesus Christ has come into your life and have cleansed you from all unrighteousness is the most important thing, bar none, that a person will ever do in their life. It's the very most important thing. And I never want to close the service without making that appeal to each and every person to make sure that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved, that your sins have been forgiven, that you are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. To know Him is to know life eternal. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow.
I stand in awe of you and everything you've done for me. You speak your words into my life, and where you are is where I wanna be. I stand before you, Lord, humbled by the love you give away. Oh, where does my will and pride, it's all I have to offer anyway. I'm holding on to your love. I'm letting go of myself. I'll say so long to everything else. I stand in awe of you and everything you've done. I just wanna be in your arms. I just wanna be in your arms. moving ever closer to your heart, to your heart. I just wanna be in your arms. I just wanna be in your arms, moving ever closer to your heart, to your heart. I just wanna be in your arms. I just wanna be.